A quick hello, and it's good to go. Welcome to the show, Kevin Schmidlin.
Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Brilliant. Wonderful. And welcome to you. We met at Cap Show in Orlando a few weeks ago, and you agreed to come on the show to talk about building effective landing pages and newsletters.
Yeah.
I'm super excited because we have a newsletter. There aren't enough people on it. And we have landing pages, and not enough people get from the landing page to the newsletter, which is probably why there aren't enough people on the newsletter. Is that a very common problem?
Oh, yes, 100%. It happens all the time. And what's funny is when you optimize the landing page for your newsletter, a lot of times that helps you optimize your newsletter itself and actually make it something that's better. And so happy to dive into how that works for sure.
Brilliant. And so this is going to be hugely helpful for Katrina, who does the landing pages, and Joanne, who actually sends the newsletter out. So I get the feeling they're going to have to work together because the landing page will help us to understand probably more what users expect.
Exactly. What the value is. What is the benefit of joining a newsletter?
Ooh, hang on. Talking of which, sorry, we've just started this, and you can tell me if this is a good idea. We say, with the CaliCube newsletter, you will learn how to educate Google. URL, news, sign up now. Is that a good presentation?
That's good. So what's good about that is that you convey an outcome, right? So if I subscribe to the newsletter, I will learn how to educate Google. That is a very, very clear outcome. And so that is good. Where other folks kind of get tripped up is that they just say like, join our newsletter to stay in the know. It's like, I don't want to stay in the know. I'm in the know about too many things already. That's the last thing that I want. And so when you convey it in that way, where it's like, hey, by subscribing to this newsletter, you're going to learn X already, you're off to a great start.
Right. And I can see one kind of hole in it is somebody would then say, but why do I want to learn to educate Google? So we need an informed audience for that message to work.
Exactly. Yes. And that's what we can talk about with the landing page is that ideally you're conveying the benefit, but then you're also conveying the benefit of the benefit, in which, you know, how would you say that? It would be, you want to learn how to educate Google so that, what would you say?
So that you can, or do you see, I used to say so that you can get Google to represent your brand correctly, positively, accurately, and convincingly when somebody searches the brand name, which is bottom of funnel.
Right.
But now I'm looking at it more and more, in fact, is you can educate Google. By educating Google, you will improve your entire digital ecosystem, which will improve your digital marketing strategy. But it's still too verbose, isn't it?
It's very verbose. And like all of those, it's like, well, what's the benefit of that? You'll grow your business. You'll get more clients, right? You're going to show up more to people who want to buy your stuff. That's the ultimate benefit that these business owners are looking for.
Which means it's learn to educate Google so that Google will... So you can encourage Google to recommend you to its users who want to buy your product.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, yeah. So you can get Google to recommend you to the people who are ready to buy your products.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. We can actually stop the show now because I've got what I need.
All right. Thanks for having me. No.
We'll carry on for the audience. Brilliant. Let's have a quick look at your brand SERP and then we'll come on to the in detail about the landing page. Here we have your name, Kevin Schmidlin.
Yep.
And you can see there at the top in the drop-down menu, you have your photo and your name, which is super cool.
Whoa. And
then we can see Grow the Show, LinkedIn, Grow the Show, the website, and then your Twitter profile. So Grow the Show is hugely dominant here, and we can talk about that towards the end. And if you click on the photo in the drop-down, then you get that. And what you can see there is this very similar result, but with Instagram third, with your name in the photo and your link and your profiles, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And that is your knowledge panel. That is Google's understanding of the facts about you. And this is why we talk about educating Google, because you haven't had to explicitly educate Google about yourself. Google has figured it out for itself. These are the facts. And if you think about the future of AI, the facts that these machines understand about you will determine how these machines understand and represent you in the future and how they will serve you to their audiences, to their users. And that understanding could be right, could be wrong, could be more or less positive. And it's your self-determination in the future that is dependent on their understanding of you today. And that knowledge panel is the KPI the key performance indicator of its understanding. I love that. This is my super favorite place to hang out.
Yeah, that's incredible. And honestly, that's so eye-opening for me because, I mean, it's cool that my picture shows up, but what I see is that I really should get some more information out there because there's nothing other than my name. And so really, I'm leaving it up to the interwebs to decide who I am and what I'm doing. And so I think I'd like to have to play a part in that. So that's good for me to see.
Brilliant. Thank you. And that's exactly what we do at Kelly King all day long, every day, is educate Google so that it represents you, so that it understands you. And when it understands who you are and who you serve, it's much more likely to recommend you when you're a great solution to that audience, including your newsletter. If somebody's searching for, probably not newsletters on a specific topic, but if somebody is researching a topic, especially in generative AI, Google is likely to then recommend your newsletter as a resource for that topic. And that's where generative AI answer engines and assistive engines are taking us. You are listening to Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard. Now, back to the show. But right now, let's assume that Google has sent somebody to your newsletter landing page, or you've put a post on LinkedIn to get somebody on your newsletter landing page, or you've done what we did, which is put up a screen on a podcast with a URL, calicube.com/newsletter, to join our newsletter list. What should they see on the landing page now that they've seen that we will learn, or we will teach them to learn to educate Google? What do they need to see when they get on that link?
Yeah, so what I have learned through sending tons of traffic to my landing pages for my email list is that the simpler, the better. And so I've actually gotten folks onto my email list in two different ways. The first way is through lead magnets, which you're probably familiar with. A lead magnet is a something valuable that somebody wants that you can give them right now, and you give it to them in exchange for their email address. And it's kind of
question.
A
newsletter in and of itself is not good enough as a lead magnet. Just saying I'm gonna send you some free advice every week isn't a lead magnet.
No, it can absolutely be a lead magnet. So it's just a different type of lead magnet. So there's the type that I'm describing, which is kind of a one-off thing where you're getting them, you know, whether it's a document or a video or a free trial or something like that. But your newsletter can absolutely be a lead magnet in and of itself, as long as it conveys what value the folks are going to get from it, right? So if you subscribe to this newsletter, what am I going to get? And again, that's the number one mistake that I see creators and entrepreneurs making when they're inviting people to join their newsletter is they're just like, join to stay updated. Staying updated is not enough value for someone to basically give you their consent to contact them on a regular basis. So when you're putting together for a landing page, and let's just, for the purposes of this conversation, we'll talk specifically about newsletters, but this is true for a landing page for any kind of lead magnet. It could be an email course, could be a, you know, short video, could be a PDF, whatever it is. But we're going to talk specifically for newsletters right now. What I have found is that the simpler your landing page is, the better. The fewer options somebody has to click elsewhere, the more likely they're actually going to opt into your newsletter. So number one is keep it simple and make it so that the only thing that they can do on the whole page is give you their email address and say, yes, I want in. So that's number one. That's the one of the biggest things that I see is that somebody's landing page, super complicated. You have the banner up top. There's like 8 million different things that people can click on. And so it just lowers the probability that they're going to click on the thing that you want them to click on.
But the counter argument to that, which I know is incorrect, but that I have always believed in, is they might not want the loot newsletter, so I'd better give them other options and let them decide.
Right. And that's true. I wouldn't say it's necessarily incorrect, but that also will lower your conversions. It will give more people, because the thing is, the more options somebody has, the more likely they're going to pick any of them, let alone the one that you want them to pick. And so if they land on the landing page for your newsletter and they don't want the landing page and they don't want your newsletter, they don't want to opt in, then they can leave your landing page, right? But if you have all these other options, right? If you have like, check out our case studies, check out, you know, this other thing, like these, all these links, then there will be a subset of people who landed on that landing page with full intentions to join your newsletter, but then all those other options you gave them distracted them away from doing it. The people who land on the landing page and don't want to do don't want to opt into your newsletter, they're not going to anyway. So it's okay. Like having extra links for them doesn't really do anything for you, but it's that subset of people that you would have had if you hadn't given them all these other options that you lose out on. And what I found is that when you don't have any other options and when you don't have tons of copy, like it's very simple, a headline, a couple of bullets as to what they're going to get by joining the newsletter. Sometimes you don't even include an image, by the way, because I've had landing pages where I've split test two landing pages. They're completely identical, except for the fact that one has a picture on it and one does not. The one that doesn't is just headline, bullets, 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 opt in. The ones without a picture, in my experience, has performed higher, significantly higher. And a lot of times it was a picture of me. So I'm like, oh man, I guess it's my fit. No, I'm just kidding. But either way, like the simpler it is, it's just, hey, here's what this is. Here's the value that you're going to get. Do you want in? The less noise you can give them, the more likely it is that they're going to opt in. So that's tip number one, is to just keep it painfully simple. And I say painfully because you're going to have those thoughts where you're like, well, shouldn't I add this? Shouldn't there be more? Shouldn't it be prettier? Nope. This page has one job, and it is to sell the viewer on why this newsletter is going to be the best thing, the best decision that they make today, and how much value they're going to get on an ongoing basis by joining it.
And you're saying you're tempted to put these images or links, and even as you talk, I'm saying I really want to put something on it. It's so difficult to think my opinion about this web page is what matters. But it's absolutely not my opinion that matters, because my opinion is I want a nice image of my red shirt and I want some links to give some people some choice, because I'm a nice guy who likes to give people choice.
Yeah. I mean, split testing your landing pages is one of the most humbling experiences you can ever have, because it's just like, oh, I should change this. Ooh, I should add this. Nope. It's just, there's a saying that's, you know, perfection is not achieved when nothing more can be added, but only when nothing more can be removed. And that is extremely true with landing pages.
Right. Okay. So I now already know that our landing page for the newsletter is too complicated, too much stuff going on. An image may or may not be helpful, but let's split test it to find out. The landing pages for the free giveaways, the lead capture, things like the 17-point knowledge panel checklist, have a video that explains what they'll get. Is that a really bad idea then?
So I wouldn't say it's a bad idea. Like when it comes to this game, it's all about just testing and seeing how things perform, because, you know, there might be some audiences where, yeah, the video makes it perform better. There might be others where, you know, simple is better. And so that's why, you know, what you want to do is have tracking, have the ability to track the traffic that the landing page gets and compare that to the number of opt-ins that the page gets, and you'll get a conversion percentage. And if my memory serves, I think somewhere around 10 to 20%. You might want to look that up, but I want to say around 10 to 20% is a good opt-in rate. It's a good conversion rate for a landing page, for a lead magnet. But I mean, through the tips that I'm sharing today, I've been able to get my landing page up to a 30 to 40% opt-in rate. And again, what I do is I'll have an idea like that. I'm like, well, you know, if I recorded a 30-second video that sold the newsletter and put that on, how would it change? And I would have baseline for what it's at now, add the video, let it run for 2 weeks, see if the conversion rate changes. If it's better, leave it. If it's not, remove it. And it's just through testing for 4 years, the same landing page over and over and over again, I've been able to hone down to about a 30 to 40% conversion rate. And again, humbly, after 4 years, it's almost always when I remove something that the page performs better.
Okay, which is hugely good advice. And it's difficult to do, but necessary. And then you think, well, I've invested in the video. I've taken time to do it. I've invested money, resources. I can't just remove it. But if it does improve the conversion rate, of course you have to.
Yeah. One other thing that I have seen, and I'll admit that I have not yet tested this out on my own landing pages, but I've heard from peers of mine in the online business world who have made way more money than I have, that having a little bit of social proof on the landing page for the lead magnet is very powerful. So I'm starting to see newsletter opt-in pages that have like join 25,000 readers, or even just like little screenshots of people who have said this newsletter is amazing, those types of things. So that's a case where my landing pages don't currently have that, and I should probably test that out, because I've heard that that really, really does boost newsletter landing page performance.
Right. So, I mean, and in that particular case, your understanding has is that you just put one and you don't have these carousels with multiple
so again, quotes that would, and people. That would be a test point. I would start with one. And like, it's just all these things. It's like, what's the right thing to do? It's like, it's just, it's a matter of trying stuff out, testing and see what works. Because I guarantee you, there will be a creator who, or an entrepreneur who listens to this and they run a test and the carousel crushes for them. And there might be another entrepreneur who has the same landing page, but a different audience. And they find that three screenshots works better. So that's why this is just a very, very game of minute testing.
Right. Okay. Because my, 100%. And it's going to come back to that a lot in this conversation. I think it's going to be, you're going to say, if you A/B test it, you're going to know rather than just thinking and guessing.
Totally. But when your landing page is simple, when it's baseline simple, it makes it a lot easier to test, to do the tests that we're talking about. Like if you've got a super compelling, or if you've got a super complicated landing page that has a bajillion things on it and you test out a carousel versus a screenshot, it's hard to know how much of an impact that makes, because there's just so many different things for people to do. So that's another reason why simplicity is key, because it allows you to have much clearer tests.
Right. Okay. We're at the 15-minute mark, and that was tip number one. What's tip number two?
Yeah. So just briefly, it's about selling the viewer on what, number one, what they're going to get in the newsletter. That's a key. And what will be the benefits of what they're going to get. So there's many different shapes of newsletters. And next week, I'm sure you're going to learn all more about that. But as an example, some newsletters share an essay every week. Some of them are more of a digest, of a content digest of what the business has put out. Some of them are curation newsletter, where the person who puts together the newsletter is bringing together different pieces of information from other sources on the internet. And there's a few others as well. Some of them are a combination of all those things. So it's important to say, like, hey, if you opt into this newsletter, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a weekly essay. You're going to get a weekly, you know, curation. You're going to get five things every Friday that blah, blah, blah. So number one is the what. You want to say what it is. What are they getting in their inbox and how often? Mm-hmm. And then number two is, again, what are the benefits of this? And the best way to think about it is, if somebody subscribes to your newsletter today and they read every single email for 6 months and they implement what's shared in the email, how will their life, how will their business have changed? And if you can articulate that to them in the landing page, where it's like, subscribe to this newsletter so that you can become blah, 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 right? So that you can, like, if it was for me, I help podcasters, subscribe to my newsletter to get weekly podcast tactics so that you can grow your audience and within 6 months have podcast ROI. You can monetize those types of things. And you're going to be like, I want to grow my audience and make more money for my podcast in 6 months. I don't care about getting tips in my inbox. What I really want is to grow my podcast audience and monetize it. So, you know, for anybody who's considering a newsletter, that's what you want to do. Convey the benefit of what you're sharing in the newsletter.
So what you're going to be giving them and what benefit it brings to them. And that's just two things.
That's it. Very simple.
Right. And I think you're right in the sense that we never have done that. And now I can see how we might do it. And it actually sounds to me like I'm selling something.
And do you say that in a good way or a bad way?
Well, I would have thought I'm not selling something with a newsletter. I'm trying to convince somebody to accept my generosity, I think, somewhere down the line. But in fact, what I'm doing is trying to sell them what I can offer.
Right. So I would say, yes, you are selling them something, because they're not paying you in money, but they're paying you in their attention. They're paying you in your, like, and everybody, like, everybody's inboxes are already overwhelmed. So they're paying you by giving you permission to send them emails, right? So it is a sale. It's not generous, because they're giving you something, right? So it is an equal exchange.
Right. No, I understand it's thinking, well, less about me and more about them, which I think is what most of us need to do as podcasters, as business owners, as salespeople, whatever, or marketers, is put ourselves in the shoes of the other person. How would I feel about this page? Would I convert on this page? And right now, I think the answer for us is probably not.
Right. And if you ever, like, the best thing to do is go look at other newsletters and, like, other newsletter landing pages from competitors or other folks that you follow, or just people you come across online. And from that perspective, be like, do I really want to give this person my email address? And the ones where you say yes, it's those landing pages that are like, yeah, I do, because they're going to give me XYZ, which is going to help me do this.
No, I love it. They're going to give me XYZ that helps me do ABC was what I was I like that as a phrase. So tip number three, do we have a third tip or are we moving on to how this helps me with my newsletter?
I think we probably just covered two in that last one where it's, you know, convey the benefit of the benefit, but also, you know, share the what and the how. And I guess tip three would just be, it's always a test. And we've kind of touched upon it, but it's just, it's never set in stone. We're always tweaking. And you know, we're always looking, how can we get the opt-in rate a little bit higher? Because that opt-in page is so high up in the funnel, a couple percentages, like if you go from a 10% opt-in rate to a 20% opt-in rate, down funnel, that's a 50% increase in sales, just in a 10% increase on your opt-in rate. So these little tiny percentage points on the opt-in page can translate to massive business results because down the line, it means more clients and customers.
Because at the end of the day, the people who are on your newsletter are, in theory, the people who are then going to end up buying from you. So the conversion rate follows it down the line, as it were, which is a brilliant point. And the other thing that you made me think of there is it's a never-ending job, is that you don't say, well, this is as good as it's going to get. A, because you can always improve it. B, because the world changes and your messaging perhaps changes.
Exactly. The market's always changing. Your clients, your customers, their pain points, you know, your position in the marketplace, the technologies, it is always changing. So it sounds exhausting. You don't have to be looking at your landing page every single day. Just monitor your conversion rates. That's it. If every day I have a KPI spreadsheet where I look at just all the metrics for my business's marketing, and my landing page opt-in rate is one of that. And most of the time, it's exactly the same because I haven't changed anything. But every once in a while, you'll start to see it go down. You'll start to see that conversion rate go down. And it's like, I wonder what's going on here. And that is your signal to take a look and, you know, see if it deserves to be updated.
Right. Okay. And this makes me now realize to what extent I've put the newsletter as just one of these things we do as part of our marketing strategy. From what I understand, both yourself and Joe Paluzzi, who'll be here next week, say the newsletter is the foundation of your marketing strategy. It's maybe the ultimate goal of your marketing because it pushes people down the funnel and keeps their attention.
And ultimately, for me anyway, I mean, look, I'm a podcast guy. What I do is I help, you know, businesses and entrepreneurs with podcasts learn how to get, you know, grow their audience and get more clients and customers from their show. But my big dark secret is that one of the biggest ways that I help podcasters get more clients and customers from their podcast is by getting those podcasters to convert their podcast listeners to email list subscribers. Because despite all of the changes in technology and social media and marketing and everything over the past 20 years, email is still tried and true as one of the best ways to convert audience members to buyers.
Right, which brings me kind of to another point is we've only just started doing this with the overlay on the video. With the Kellycube newsletter, you'll learn how to educate Google, which ultimately will bring you more clients because Google will recommend you. How do I do that on an audio podcast?
Yeah, so essentially what you want to do is very similarly have a call to action within your podcast, either in the middle of your show. So you might take a break and say, you know, we'll be right back to the show, or you might have it at the end of your show. And you simply have basically an ad, quote unquote, for your newsletter. And so I might say, you know, hey, we'll be right back to this. Like, so my podcast is called Grow the Show. Listeners are podcasters. In the middle of the episode, I might say, hey, we'll be right back to the show. But real quick, I've got a question for you. Have you ever found it difficult to keep up with all of the changes in the podcast industry? Because let's face it, podcasting is changing fast. Well, what if instead you were able to get the latest and greatest updates on how to grow a podcast in your inbox every single week? Well, that exists. If that sounds interesting to you, you can join the Grow the Show newsletter at growtheshow.com/newsletter. And every week I'll send you a specific growth tactic that's working now in 2024 so that you can grow your podcast audience faster, more easily, and ultimately get more clients and customers from the show. And then now back to the show, right? And so you have in your show notes, the link to that, growtheshow.com/newsletter.
Which is a hugely important point. Have the link in the show notes because people listening can't necessarily write that quickly or remember what you've just said.
Yes. However, I was really surprised recently. A friend of mine ran a test on his podcast where he gave a URL on the podcast, and then he had a link in the show notes, but he had the show notes link as a different link. And just to see like how many people type it in versus how many people click it. And he found it was a 50% split. It blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. Yes, I did the same thing. I was like, I can't believe this. I thought for sure everybody would just click the link in the show notes, but he said, nope, people do type it in if you have a easy to remember URL.
Which is growtheshow.com/newsletter or calicube.com/newsletter. Keep it simple. People will get there because they can remember it. One thing that that struck me about the presentation you just gave, which, if I may, we can use and adapt.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I was going to say steal it, but I felt like is that you framed the problem before you started. So the first thing you did was frame the problem and then give them the lead through of here's the solution, which is my newsletter, and here's where it will change you. So we're going from, you know, bad situation, solution, good situation.
Yeah, 100%.
So framing the problem.
Every single podcast call to action that I make, I use the pain vision solution framework. And that's why I was able to just rip that call to action right here live, because it's just, what is the pain that whatever you're asking somebody to consume or sign up for will, you know, resolve? Paint the vision of what it's like when that pain is resolved, and then paint the thing that you're offering them as the solution. And that's true for newsletter, because like we said before, you need to sell them on why they should give you, because usually we sell people on why they should give you their money. Now we're selling people on why they should give you their email, which some people protect even more than they protect their money. So for that reason, yes, when you're CTAing folks to your newsletter, paint, you know, position your newsletter as the solution to a real problem that they have, and you'll get far more opt-ins.
Brilliant. Absolutely perfect. And to end the episode before we get on to the final chunk is, can you explicitly tell me how this will help us to improve our newsletter? What I can understand from what you've said is by doing this, we'll be framing things in a way that will change the content of the newsletter to better address the problem, to create the vision that you've given them with the solution, which is the newsletter. Is that more or less it?
It's pretty much that. Like until a business owner, an entrepreneur, a marketing team thinks about their newsletter as a solution to the reader's problem, they think about it as a solution to their own problem, which is, how can I get people on my email list so I can sell them stuff? If you think about it that way, you're going to talk about it that way, and people are not going to be interested in it. But just through forcing yourself to position your newsletter as the solution to a pain point, you're going to make a better newsletter, because then every week when it comes time to put together an email, you're going to think, so I promised folks that if they opt into this, they're going to be able to ABC. So what can I send them to help today to help them get closer to achieving ABC? And when you do that, the content in your newsletter is going to be more useful. It's going to be more valuable. It'll get fewer unsubscribes. And then ultimately, when the time does come to ask them to consider buying your products and services, they're going to be way more willing to do so because you've already given them so much value in their inbox every week.
Brilliant. And sorry, this now makes me organizationally think. Katrina, who does the landing page, needs to meet with Joanne, who does the newsletter, make sure they're in sync. And I need to then get involved in the conversation. We all need to agree of what the newsletter then provides, because we need to push people down the funnel towards purchase or learning for free with the calicube.com resources how to actually educate Google to drive business for themselves, which means it's actually a team job with the landing page and the newsletter pushing people down the funnel, which I've never thought about before.
Couldn't agree more. I think that you'll be extremely well served just to have that conversation with the three of you in the room. I think that you'll get more out of your newsletter just from one of those conversations.
So definitely, Katrina, Joanne, myself, we need to get in a meeting together and sort this out. Thank you. That was absolutely brilliant. I've just learned so much, and it's only been 28 minutes. So these valuable, super valuable episodes are something I'm really keen on at CaliCube. And it serves us, it serves our team, but it also serves the audience, I do believe. And this is the tie-in with branded search. How do landing pages for newsletters help with branded search? Kevin.
Yeah, so I'm going to twist this answer a little bit to be a little bit more towards my expertise. So I've done very, very well with landing pages for newsletters. I will admit that I have not looked at branded search as much as I should. And I know that now just from having that conversation with you today. But what I can say is that for those of you who have podcasts, if you search Grow the Show on Google right now, and if you do what you did before and search Kevin Schmidlin, you'll find that Google is complete, that the first results, the whole page is full of my valuable content. And that's because, in my opinion, a podcast is an incredible way to get great branded search results. Because I admitted to you before we started recording that I have not given branded search a lick of thought, and I should. I now know that. But even still, because I have a podcast that's called Grow the Show, and that's the name of my brand, I've kind of achieved the, I would assume, the branded search results that I want, because there's so many apps and websites that host podcasts. So if you search for my name or Grow the Show, you're going to see Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Podcast Addict. There's literally dozens of podcast apps that are talking about my free content on Grow the Show. And get this, on the podcast itself is where I have those calls to action, where I then tell people, hey, you should check out my newsletter. You should check out my lead magnets, which then sends people to my landing page. So it's a kind of roundabout way to answer this question, but I would say my podcast has helped me, without me even knowing, with my branded search, which in turn sends people to my landing pages, which has gotten me more clients and customers.
Which is brilliant. And what I love about that is you've solved the problem that I solved, but you didn't realize you'd done it, whereas I've been trying for so long. Right. So congratulations to you. You beat me at my own game without even trying or thinking about it. That was brilliant, Kevin. Now we're going to introduce next week, which is Joe Paluzzi, who's been on the show before, who's coming back delightfully to talk about boosting traffic and newsletter conversions with content, how to pull people down to that landing page that Kevin has just so well explained to us, how to optimize and improve. Could you possibly pass the baton, Kevin?
Yes, it is my absolute honor to pass the baton to a content legend, the guy who introduced us all how to build a content business. And that is Joe. You're going to be in great hands with him.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you, everyone, for watching. You get the outro song, too. A quick goodbye to end the show. Thank you, Kevin.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Brilliant.
CaliCube. It's all about your brand SERP.